The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear, we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C., before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stattmiller, with you on this Wednesday, already the 28th of October, 2020. Thank you. I don't know what you just did there, but throttle it back. My mic is real low. It's always been low. Well, now it's louder than all get out in my ear. That's everything. You've thrown everything in, including the kitchen sink. Here comes the toilet. I'm in the toilet here. I'm getting feedback. All right, crank it down a little bit, will you please? All righty. Okie dokie. Seems like we're still practicing. You got to adjust, man. You got to adjust. I had Anthony, or as he calls himself, V, I had him do my show yesterday. And a lot of people don't understand why I rotate different hosts in, so people can get a feel of who these people are. Because a lot of them, they go on their own timelines, a lot of listeners. They'll listen during the day, and then they cook dinner at night, and they do the household duties, and then they get ready for bed, and they go to bed. A lot of people haven't heard V before. And that's our guy that actually is in Poland. And I appreciated him coming up yesterday and doing the program. When you hear people sub for me, 9 times out of 10, they're there to promote their program and give you a taste of other people on the network. Because, as I said, and there's no reason, if you like V, there's no reason why you can't listen to him, because we do have the archives and you can do it on your own time. Which is a good thing. At any rate, let's start out with an honest ad from your Democratic Party spokesperson. Now, this is obviously tongue-in-cheek, but it says everything, and it does it in such a way that they present it as being legitimate, and then you discover how absolutely wacky these socialist progressives really are.
Hi, I'm the spokesperson for the Democratic Party, and I'm back to tell you why you need to vote blue this November. You know us as the party of love, tolerance, and compassion, but we're much more than that. We're the party of science, and the science is clear. Men have periods. Babies are clumps of cells until they're born, and maybe a few minutes after. Vaccines save lives unless they're developed while Trump is president, and voting for us will end hurricanes, wildfires, and tornadoes. As our nation reels from a pandemic with at least a 98% survival rate, we need a party that understands that riots, liquor stores, and abortion clinics are immune to the virus, while churches and schools are dangerous and must be shut down. It's for your safety. Democrats stand for justice. That means we'll ruin a man's life based on no evidence, because we believe all women, unless your name is Tara Reid. As fighters for justice, we have a winning message from our activist base. Abolish the police and prison systems. At the same time, we'll push to take away your guns and eliminate single-family housing zones. It'll be fine. Our commitment to justice also means we'll stand by as the lives, businesses, and property of people who did nothing wrong are destroyed. That's because we believe Black Lives Matter. Trump is a racist. He just is. And even though he's explicitly condemned white supremacy multiple times, it's not enough and it never will be. Come to think of it, he hasn't been quite clear enough on his stances on cannibalism, pushing people in front of moving trains, or Ted Bundy either. It really makes you wonder. In Joe Biden, we have a champion for the BIPOC, primarily by authoring a bill that sent thousands of them to prison. And most recently, he compassionately pointed out that all Black people think the same way, and that if you don't vote for him, you ain't Black. He's right, of course. The only real Black people are the ones who agree with us on everything. And those who don't, well, we have every right to belittle and demean them. That's what we call anti-racism. Democrats are the party of the poor, the marginalized, and people of color, as is reflected in our leadership and our party's biggest donors. Y hablamos español. One thing Democrats are best at is exciting our base. We do this by coming up with stories we know will make you angry, and then dropping them entirely without corrections when they get old. Like accusing Kavanaugh of gang rape, or Trump of stealing mailboxes. That was fun. Trump is a scary, evil dictator. So scary that absolutely no one is afraid to criticize him, lie about him, openly wish death upon him, or call him a clown in a live debate. That's why we believe he won't concede in November. Sure, it's been 4 years and we still haven't accepted the results of the last election, but that's because reasons. The GOP will do anything to stay in power. Democrats are just trying to preserve our democracy by packing the courts, abolishing the Electoral College, and reconfiguring the Senate. We go back and forth between believing Trump is a conniving genius or a bumbling buffoon, but one thing is clear. He is not mentally fit to be president. Our candidate is sharp. And not at all in cognitive decline. I mean, who really knows what the Declaration of Independence says anyway? And who are you to say corn pop isn't real? The choice is clear. And once again, we're confident that through censorship, manipulation, bullying, and maybe a little ballot harvesting, we'll get our way. Why? Because we care about you. So much so that we're willing to wear you down until you fear getting silenced, doxxed, fired, or ruined if you don't agree with our agenda. That's love. I'm the spokesperson for the Democratic Party. Vote for us in November.
How many voting days until election? 6? Next Tuesday? If today, let's chalk Wednesday off because we're into the evening hours. So we've got Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and then Tuesday. 6 days. Well, actually 5 until the voting actually commences. Who do you suppose, Mike, might win this election? Yeah, that doesn't translate. Bug-eyed and nodding your head does not translate. So who do you think is going to win the election on Tuesday? Trump. Are you one of them Trumpets? No? So are you going to vote for Donald Trump? Yes? Okay. You seem to be... do you know what I think's going on here? Seriously. I think people are scared to death of the Democrats now. Because they've seen that they're capable of doing just about anything. And we're going to spell that out exactly down here in Texas. Oh, a lot of gerrymandering, arm twisting, buying votes. If this investigation proceeds down here in Texas, guess what, folks? It ain't only going to be Democrats that are going to lose their keisters or seats, which is proper. In political terms, they're going to lose their keisters. But also Republicans, folks. And they've caught Democrats flipping parties just so they can go in there and cause mayhem in the Republican. There's nothing these people will not do. Okay, that's been established. How bad it is, well, you can use your imagination and you probably wouldn't even come close. By the way, Wisconsin Supreme Court rules, and this is, there's only 8 justices, Mike, voting on this, and not the 9th, not the one that was just put on the bench. Supreme Court rules 5-3 against Democrats. The 2020 ballots have to be received by Election Day in Wisconsin. Say it isn't so. Really? By the way, I will be playing a clip from the senator, GOP Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, not on the subject of what I just reported, but on the subject of going after Dorsey from Twitter and Zuckerberg from Facebook and who's the other guy for Google? Pinchow or whatever his name is. Can you look that up so I get it right? I want to assign blame equally and fairly. How do you spell that? Put it on my screen. Jeez, old Pete. At any rate, with just days before the 2020 presidential election, the election processes have to be reliable and accurate. But one major issue involves the ballot speed. Some states have asked for extensions concerning absentee ballots. However, the Supreme Court just said no to a particular swing state. Wisconsin Democrats had applied for an extension of mail-in ballots received after Election Day, which is obviously November 3rd. Initially, the lower court said ballots could be counted if they were received up to 6 days after the election. Democrats were all happy, and they called that a victory. But the highest court refused to let this one go. An excerpt from Fox News, the Supreme Court on Monday ruled against a request by Wisconsin Democrats to allow an extension for mail-in ballots that are received after Election Day. In a 5-3 ruling, the justices refused to reinstate a lower court order that called for mailed ballots to be counted if they are received up to 6 days after November 3rd election. In the past, Democrats have been concerned about the mass influx of mailed ballots. And there's good reason for that, folks. As we will demonstrate in this broadcast, there's a lot of vote fixing going on. Now, before I continue, let me just plant this thought in your mind. There used to be very heavy penalty. There was kickback from the system if you tried to rig a vote. Everybody frowned upon this, because the one thing you don't mess with is the vote for our representatives in this democracy. Notice I didn't say statesmen in our republic. There seems to be a lot of people confused, up to and including Tucker Carlson, that keeps calling this country a democracy. Please email him or hit him on Twitter, if you would. Now, they claim that in addition to the huge number of ballots, the pandemic also makes it necessary to extend the counting period. But as you guessed, the Republicans didn't see it that way. They opposed extending the standard November 3rd deadline and stated that voters have ample opportunity to vote before the close of polling. As such, the GOP was quick to condemn the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals that had approved the 6-day extension. And now the Supreme Court has agreed with the GOP. There will be no extension. Now we'll have to see if the post offices get inundated and if our voting processes hold up. That remains a legitimate concern. But it certainly seems like voters have the time and opportunity to send in their choice by the end of November 3rd. The key takeaways, of course, on this one, the GOP claims voters have plenty of time and opportunity to hit the standard November 3rd deadline. Lower court previously allowed the ballots to be counted up to 6 days after election, but the high court reversed that. And, of course, the Democrats know this better than anybody else in Wisconsin. The Supreme Court, minus the new justice, was ruled against. Gee, wonder if it would have been any different if the new justice was seated. Probably not. As a matter of fact, I would probably bet on it. Sad stuff, folks. It's very, very, very sad. Now, Mike, do you have everything posted up? Well, just let me know when you do have it. Okay, you're working on a Tucker Carlson. Yeah, please post that up because I wanted to mention that as well. Well, it seems that a Texas ballot chaser pressures voters to change vote from Cornyn to Hager. That's my job, she says. I can honestly say I'm bringing at least 7,000 votes to the polls, said Garza, gave her a $2,500 gift budget. And who we're talking about here is ballot chaser Raquel Rodriguez. I could go to jail. I'm a little apprehensive to tell anybody what I'm effing doing. You know what I'm saying? Rodriguez, well, you voter said you were voting straight Democratic per our conversation because that's what you want to do, correct? Rodriguez responds, I drop off bundles of ballots at different post offices to avoid suspicion. I go throughout the entire city. I take 20 ballots here, 30 ballots there, 40 ballots here. And of course, this is James O'Keefe, the one that did the sting on this. Our journalists discovered a voter fraud system positioned to swing Texas in 2020. We keep hearing voter fraud is a myth, and anyone who challenges that notion is simply creating hysteria, said James O'Keefe, the founder and CEO of Project Veritas. By the way, I've yet to find James O'Keefe that didn't absolutely nail it on the head, without doubt, on all of these stories he's been doing. Hats off to him. O'Keefe said, I went to Texas to be a part of Project Veritas investigation into election fraud and to be on the ground here with our undercover journalist. Our journalist discovered a voter fraud system positioned to swing Texas in 2020. These so-called ballot chasers use a mix of gifts and coercion to work down their list of targeted voters and make sure they vote for their paymasters, he said. The actions violate both federal and state law and constitute a direct threat to the integrity of our election-based republic. Thank you, Mr. O'Keefe, for calling it what it is, a republic, especially if you're talking about Texas. One of the capos in this ballot racketeering operation is Raquel Rodriguez, nominally a political consultant for the GOP House candidate, Mauro E. Garza, the owner of San Antonio's Pegasus nightclub, which is located on the main avenue strip. Now, the exchange between Rodriguez and a journalist, I will just play it rather than read it to you. This is big stuff, folks. It used to be you go to jail for a very long time for getting in there rigging votes. Now the thievery and the dishonesty is so pervasive, and might I say on both sides of the aisle, that it's hard to determine who's against and who's for vote rigging. You know, I always heard the old maxim, let the best man win. No, not without insurance. Here is Project Veritas's presentation on the rigged election about these Texas ballot chasers.
I'm James O'Keefe, standing here in San Antonio, Texas, and we're about to introduce you to a political consultant working for House Republican candidate Mauro Garza. Her name, Raquel Rodriguez, and she's committing massive voter fraud here in the state of Texas. We have Raquel on tape coercing voters to vote the right way, as well as bribing these voters with gifts. In Texas, it's illegal to ballot harvest unless you're someone's relative. It's also illegal to coerce someone to change their vote. Our journalist wanted to see what Rodriguez was actually doing. Paying her $500 allowed us in the door.
I'll go over the ballot with them and say, like, I need to go make some more copies of this.
That's the ballot itself?
This is the ballot itself.
Like a sample ballot.
So she's in precinct two.
She voted for John Corgan. Okay. Lo Doggett. So this is who she voted for here. All right. So she basically went through the ballot and picked off. Now, you know, on here, you chose a Republican, not a Democrat, right?
Can I do this?
You can vote for whoever you want, but our conversation that we had, you said you were voting for Hager because you were going straight Democrat. So I'm just bringing that to your attention, because you could literally change it and put your initials there and you're fine. Because if you're trying to do a straight Democratic ballot, that is not a Democrat. You know what I mean? And it's okay, because normally what I would do is I'll stick with him and I'll talk to him. If you want to change it, you can, and then you can just put your initials there. So that way you're voting for the straight Dem. Because that's what you want to do, correct? You want to vote for the entire, all the Democrats. Did you see that? Can I do it like that?
But I didn't want it all Democrats.
Danny, and the only way that you can do that, Mom, is if you, you're going to shape the Democrat, because you want all Dems, right? And you're going to have to put your, like, a line through it and your initials, so they're going to know it was a mistake. That's the only way they're going to accept it.
Where do I put the initials?
Okay, so what you're going to do is you need to shape that in. You're going to put a line through there and put your initials.
Which way am I?
Okay, so let me just show you. So you're gonna dot that in, and the line goes like this, and then your initials are gonna put right there. So that way they know it was done accidentally. I'm not gonna vote for a Republican because this is how she feels.
I got you.
So I'm gonna do this really quick. I'm just gonna take a picture of you doing that, so we know you did it and you're filling it out.
With a mask?
Yeah, it's flower pretty. You wanna go behind her so we show that you were here?
Sure.
Or we could do this.
Just we'll
do it this way. Just look at the shot. This is my shot.
Oh, and she opens an envelope. Oh, look at the shaw, she says, and opens a manila envelope and pulls out a shaw. But look, what else is in the brown envelope? Cash. I'm not going to play the entire thing. I would suggest you go to republicbroadcasting.org, take a look at the 17-minute and 56-second video, and then mail it to your friends, folks. Please. You're the warriors on the ground, and you don't have anything to do? Well, there's something you can do, and it's as easy as a few clicks. Don't even have to bust a sweat. Wow. By the way, I wonder what's in store for the second term of Donald J. Trump, President of the United States. As I reported, there's a couple of people, their heads are on the block right now, Mr. Barr and the Attorney General, and Mr. Wray of the FBI, the CIA Haspel. That creature can't figure out what she is, but anything that emanates from the CIA, folks, it is not good. It never is. And they are very famous for slathering everything with a red, white, and blue, and it's patriotic to go, topple governments and start trouble in countries and then arm them, and you know the drill. It's what the CIA is very good at. And they did that. First time it was really, really paid attention to was Iraq back in 1953. Remember that one? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, they've been doing it hot and heavy, folks, for 67-plus years. It's time for these boys to go. And Trump is suggesting that Adam Schiff should be arrested for treason. Now, here's a very interesting statement. Because, there's a lot of people in this government that when you find the actual definition of treason, there's a lot of people that could be charged. And make that charge stick. Send them to court and they go to jail for a very, very long time. Yes. This whole thing, folks, orchestrated by the globalist, working in concert with groups and organizations, one organization being the Democrat Party. I don't think that's missed by anybody out there. But this has to stop. And the way that this stops is you go after the ne'er-do-wells, the actual criminals that are doing stuff like this. You know what it does? It kind of gives them a wake-up call that we're on to it, and you might be the next one to go down. You know, none dare call it treason. The reason? Well, because if you're able to make that statement, the treason has already taken place. Who's going to be there to jail, investigate, and in jail the treasonous ones? The very people themselves that are committing treason? Well, how do you think that's going to go for the scales of justice? For the second time in days, President Trump has accused a Democratic member of Congress of treason, escalating his attacks on those leading an impeachment inquiry against him based on a complaint lodged by a whistleblower. On Sunday, Trump tweeted that Schiff should be questioned at the highest level for treason. And this, I'll read you his tweet. You know this guy? He's not shy, and he tells it the way he sees it. He said, Representative Adam Schiff illegally made up a fake and terrible statement, pretended it to be mine as the most important part of my call to the Ukrainian president, and read it aloud to Congress, and that the American people, it bore no relationship to what I said on the call. Arrest for treason? Well, what he's referring to is Schiff's analysis of the Trump's July 25th call with the Ukrainian president, Zelensky. Schiff misrepresented, he basically lied about the call, as a gangster-like shakedown with Trump blatantly threatening the Ukrainian president. Well, here's what the U.S. Constitution defines treason as waging war on the U.S. or giving aid and comfort to American enemies. Punishment for that crime may include the death penalty. Woo! Say it isn't so, Joe. Say it isn't so. During a House hearing Thursday, Schiff tried to ramp up criticism of President Trump portraying him as a mob boss. Schiff said of Trump's call, it reads like a classic organized crime shakedown. Shorn of its rambling character, and in not so many words, this is the essence of what the president communicates. And then he went on to parody, and that's the only way you can put this, because it's not, and none of it is accurate. It's almost like a comical parody, except Schiff is serious, and I'm glad that he is, because I'd like to see the man brought up on treason. You know, there, as I started to say before, there's one way that you stop treasonous activity within a government, to let the next person that wants to commit those mischaracterizations or misrepresentations, that we're aware of what's going on, and you could be the next to go down. In other words, don't do it. Because the sword of Damocles is going to swing across your scrawny little necks. Yeah, Barr's got to go in the Trump administration because there's a lot of garbage to clean up. A lot of treasonous, partisan, which none of these agencies within the government is supposed to be able to do, but they're doing it anyhow. It's been proven without a shadow of a doubt. And you want to start cleaning up the so-called swamp? Anything from Main Street to K Street. And everything in between. Yeah, it's going to be an exciting next 4 years. I think you're the American people, if we can sidestep the planned crash of this economy, are going to be very, very happy that they decided to vote for a president that's stepping on a lot of snakes out there. We'll be back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
The Republic Broadcasting Network, late night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the red pill.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
My freedom, I'll keep my guns, try to keep my money and my religion too, try to keep on working.
By the way, who is this, Mike?
Smiling. I will keep my Christian name and y'all
what?
Can keep the change.
I'll keep my who's the guy that Trump always plays at his political gatherings? You're going to ask me how the melody goes when this is playing in my ear? Look, I can chew bubblegum and walk at the same time, but I... No, that's who's singing right now. The guy... Never mind. You don't know the answer to the question. Okay, I got that. All right. I'll think of the guy's name here in a second, but anyhow, he made a surprise visit to one of Trump's gatherings and sang the song live that Trump usually has pre-recorded, and he plays as he's coming out. See if you can find it. At any rate, by the way, Irwin Schiff's... did I say Irwin?
Lee Greenwood?
Lee Greenwood, yes. Thank you, Lee Greenwood. He actually showed up at a Trump rally to sing that song, and the place went crazy. Schiff's defense, by the way, my summary of the president's call was meant to be at least part in parody. No, it wasn't, Irwin. Keep calling him Irwin. His name is Adam Schiff. Jeez, old Peach, John. No, there's no vote fixing going on here. None at all. Well, if you have any doubt as to how the COVID-19 thing is going to progress through the flu months, that's right, we're just a couple of days away from November and then December, then January, February, March, you know, the regular flu season. Well, not that this surprises me. Cops will go into Britain homes and break up Christmas family gatherings if they break lockdown rules. Police chief has warned people. Well, thank you, Chiefy. If you Englanders have any guts whatsoever, you need to gut that police chief. Metaphorically speaking, that is. David Jameson, the West Midlands Police and Crime Commissioner, said officers will investigate reports of rule-breaking over the festive season. Now, is this the ultimate Grinch that stole Christmas? No, Grinch was a cartoon character. We all know the story, the Whos and Wholand, and how the Grinch stole Christmas, and then his heart grew, and he replaced all the stuff that he had taken. Well, not so according to this police guy. Crime commissioner. In Wales, they are getting rather stupid and ugly over there. Now, this David Jameson says he fears civil unrest as the coronavirus restrictions wear on into 2021. Do you think? I mean, I'm looking at demonstrations over in London, and these things, if you were to characterize it, I would call it raucous. These people are angry as hell. In West Midlands are currently under two-tier restrictions, meaning people can't visit friends or family from other households indoors. Boris Johnson has been urged to hold an emergency summit on Christmas amid claims that the rule of six could prevent families gathering. You know what? To satisfy these administrative freaks, why don't families just sign letters of understanding? In other words, there's going to be 15, 20 of us gathered at the Christmas turkey and ham and who knows what else. You know the festive stuff that happens yearly. We just sign a release absolving the government of any responsibility because we might infect each other. The only chance of infection would be infecting other family members with your love. That's the infection that they don't want. They want to keep us distant from each other, and safe. That's what they're selling us, public safety. Now, the fear factor is wearing off, and the pissed-off factor is weighing in. So, there's a Dr. Hillary Jones. He backed the calls for his three-tier lockdown. And I will play you that clip. He did this on Good Morning Britain. I'm just absolutely fascinated by this. Dr. Hillary backs Tier 3 lockdowns across England as vaccines won't stop infections, adding to fears of canceled Christmas.
No, 911. What's your emergency?
I smell something.
My emergency is I got people in my house wearing masks, and I don't even know who they are. Oh, it's from the government, and we're here to help. I'm just treading water until the video starts. Oh, we get a double pizza ad here, in case you click it off. I see. All right, here we go.
It's inevitable. It's just getting worse, isn't it? And we are in the middle of a second wave, aren't we, at the moment?
Of course we are. And, you know, just look at the figures. The hospitalizations are increasing. They're doubling every 2 weeks. So
this is Dr. Hillary Jones.
We'll be worse than we were in the first wave. Just looking at the figures. Unless people are really, really careful and the restrictions up north are kick in and we see an improvement by then, that's what we'll see. We'll see more cases. And inevitably, after you see more hospitalizations, you'll see a greater mortality. And we're seeing this across Europe. It's not just the UK. We're seeing this in Sweden, where they relied heavily on herd immunity. That's not happening. They're seeing it in France. They're calling it a brutal rise in the number of cases being diagnosed in France with 500 deaths yesterday.
Now, let me stop and digress here for just a second so we all stay on the same page. He keeps referring to cases. They're on the upswing in France and Spain and UK, Italy, Germany. Why? Because they're testing. They're testing for coronavirus with tests that weren't meant for the coronavirus. And they're calling infections cases or cases that are infections that really aren't. And people are catching on to it. And they're calling for people's heads on sticks.
I believe over 500 deaths. So it's still very serious. We're still in the pandemic. You know, I'd love to be able to give the population really good news and give them a cause for optimism. But, you know, this is the worst pandemic for over 100 years. We're still there. We can't rely too heavily on a vaccine. We don't know whether that will be effective. We hope it will save people dying, but it probably won't stop infection. Not the early vaccines anyway, but people are working on it around the clock, around the world. And I think we still need to rely on the basic principles, which is, you know, it's hands, face, space. And if we all do that...
Hands, face, and space. why did he leave the foot up your butt when... Oh, I'm sorry. My mic was open.
And we're realistic and we don't say, you know, but Christmas is an exception. Because if we make Christmas an exception, unfortunately, every little celebration will be an exception. A birthday will be an exception.
God forbid.
A Friday night will be an exception.
God forbid.
Promotion will be an exception. And if you keep making exceptions to the rules, that's how the pandemic spreads. And that's the reality of it.
Wow. That's the reality of it. Now, what this guy wants is a national lockdown. That second wave that's coming, folks. Yeah, he wants a national lockdown. These clowns are not done destroying economies. They're not done yet. And we warned that we've seen their own internal memos. We've seen their meetings. Coronavirus is going to be an issue. A dangerous issue to safety for all human beings on the face of the earth until at least 2025. I see. Well, let's jump to Sky News down in Australia. Lockdown in Wales is psychotic. They're reporting on the lockdown in Wales.
Now, Brendan O'Neill is a great friend of this show. He's spoken to us over the years about Brexit, about Boris. And he's there now as lockdown lunacy gets even more out of control in Britain. Boris seems to have lost the plot. Lots to chat about. He stayed up especially late at night on a Saturday night to chat to you here on Outsiders. Brendan O'Neill, welcome back to Outsiders. How are you, mate?
Hi, Ryan. How's it going?
Yeah, good. You look like you're in lockdown there. Have they started turning the lights off across the country? Is that what's happening?
It's incredibly dark around here. Yeah, I'm keeping my lights low.
Now, Brendan, tell us the latest. We've seen some footage of shops and shelves. I think Wales seems to be your version of Victoria, where they've gone completely bonkers. But tell us what is happening in Britain at the moment and what it's like for the public there. We've just got some footage up there of these shops where they've crossed off everything. You're not allowed to have certain products. It's totalitarian rubbish, isn't it?
Yeah, the lockdown in Wales is psychotic. There's no other word for it. It's absolutely deranged. Wales has completely locked down for the next 17 days, and it's extreme. You know, you can't leave the country, you can't go into the country, people can't go to work, all non-essential businesses have been shut down. And the most perverse thing they've done is that they have gone into supermarkets and taped off all non-essential items, which includes books, apparently, birthday cards, clothing. They've decided, they've decreed in their infinite wisdom, the government of Wales, that these are non-essential items. And this is the situation we've now reached. We've now reached the situation where bureaucrats are dictating to the people what is essential and what is non-essential, and is stopping them, preventing them from buying books. They've essentially banned books in Wales. Quite how buying a John Grisham novel is supposedly going to help spread COVID-19 is a complete mystery to everyone. But this is the lunacy of the lockdown, and it's getting worse and worse.
So, Brendan, I'd hazard a guess that it's a fairly left-leaning government in Wales, is it? Would I be correct there?
Well, there's a load of lots of Labour figures, Labour Party figures in Wales, and they're in control of a lot of the country. And but, you know, Wales is only in a more extreme of a version of what's going on around the UK. Manchester and Liverpool, two of our great cities, now have really stringent measures. In London, you can't mix with other households. There's a 10 p.m. curfew on pubs and restaurants. And the problem is that the second wave, all the evidence suggests that the second wave of COVID-19 is far weaker than the first wave. You know, everyone says hospitalizations and deaths are going up in the UK. That's true, but they're going up very slowly. This is nothing compared to what we went through in April. And yet the economy has been shut down, normal life is being shut down, and the long-term consequences of that, I think, is going to be worse than the long-term consequences of COVID-19.
James.
Putting aside the question, Brendan, of who the hell's business is it, what you buy, if it's any legal product, simple question for you. If the lockdown didn't work the first time in Britain to end COVID-19, why are they trying it a second time?
Well, that's the big question. You know, we were told when the lockdown was first brought in late March across the whole country, we were told it would last 3 weeks. Boris Johnson said it was a 3-week lockdown that would just help the NHS. That's all it was designed to do. It somehow stretched on to 4 months. Now it's coming back in different versions in a patchwork of lockdowns across the country. And now the aim is not simply to alleviate pressure on the NHS, but to stop anyone from getting COVID, which is absolutely mental. You cannot stop a virus in its tracks once it's out. So this forever lockdown we're living under is completely surreal, and it's giving the authorities this extraordinary power over the most intimate parts of our lives. They're telling us who we can visit, who we can hug, whether or not we'll have a normal Christmas, whether we can buy books. The good thing about this second wave and second lockdown is that people are tiring of it. People have had enough of it, precisely, James, because they're asking the same question that you've just asked, which is, if it didn't work the first time round, why on earth should we believe that it will work the second time round?
Lauren.
With the new powers that we've given our states and the complacency of people in the face of them, do you think the world can ever turn back to normal after COVID?
Well, you know, everyone's talking about the new normal, which to my mind is the most terrifying phrase of our time. You know, the new normal is essentially permanent social distancing, everyone wearing masks all the time, everyone staying away from other people, living in a state of fear, waiting for the state to tell them what they're allowed to do and what they're not allowed to do. There are lots of people who would want to propel the world into this so-called new normal, this dystopian nightmare of constant control and constant fear. And I think unless we start pushing back now against these measures, whether it's in Victoria, in Wales, in parts of the US, then I do think the new normal fan club are going to be successful. So that's what's up for stake. I think that's a good question. How can we ensure that the world gets back to normal? That's what's at stake right now.
Well, we often talked as well about the culture wars, and I was on a bit good good piece of news from Britain. Kemi Badenoch, who's the Qualities Minister, who you would think would be some kind of woke cultural warrior, she is an absolute legend. She's tackled the whole thing of white privilege and all the rest of it head on. Have a listen to her here. So she's been speaking about the whole idea of critical race theory and how it should be abolished and how it itself is...
By the way, is in the House of Commons. And this is a black House of Commons member over in Jolly Old that's talking about the same thing Donald Trump was talking about trying to make an entire generation, the woke generation, and to feel guilty about their, well, their whiteness.
Is basically racist. Have a listen.
I've been told of white Black Lives Matter protesters calling, and I'm afraid, I apologize for saying this word, calling a black armed police officer guarding Downing Street a pet. That is why we do not endorse that movement in on this side of the House. It is a political movement, and what would be nice would be for members on the opposite side to condemn many of the actions that we see this political movement instead of pretending that it is a completely wholesome anti-racist organization. There is a lot of pernicious stuff that is being pushed, and we stand against that. We do not want to see teachers teaching their white pupils about white privilege and inherited racial guilt. And let me be clear, any school which teaches these elements of critical race theory as fact, or which promotes partisan political views such as defunding the police without offering a balanced treatment of opposing views, is breaking the law.
Brendan, what a legend.
Yeah, Kemi Badenoch is a rising star in Boris's government, and she's an incredibly intelligent MP. And I think the best thing about her is that she's not scared of the woke elites. She's not scared of the PC tyranny. She will speak her mind and she will criticize Black Lives Matter, critical race theory, and all these other things that we're all supposed to bow down to, you know, literally take the knee to. So she's very outspoken. She's very clear-headed. And lots of people in this country really admire her. I think the key point she made, which was so true, is that this poses as an anti-racist theory and Black Lives Matter poses as an anti-racist movement, but actually it's rehabilitating racial thinking and rehabilitating the racial imagination through constantly telling us we have to think about race all the time, depicting white people as privileged oppressors and black people as permanent victims. It's a very divisive ideology, and I think it's great that a government minister is finally speaking out against it.
Hear, hear. Thanks, Brendan O'Neill. Thanks so much for staying up late to talk to us on Outsiders. I urge Outsiders fans and viewers to go and look up Spiked Online, subscribe to Spiked Online, which is Brendan's magazine, which he does such a terrific job with. Thanks, Brendan, so much for coming on Outsiders, and keep safe there.
And that was Sky News out of Australia. Looks like there's some people that are awake about the wokeness that's going on. Let me take a call here. David in Boston. Hello, David.
Oh, hi, John. Long time no talkie.
What's on your mind?
Yeah, John. John, listen, I'd like to bear my own testimony here about this COVID-19. I put this out on one RBN show. I forget which one, but I'd like the RBN family to hear this, John, that... I'm back here in Boston, John, and I take public transportation every day. I'm very active. I go all over the place. I do all kinds of, so I use all the different, well, there's the red line and the orange line and the blue line and the green line. I'm all over the whole system taking trains and buses.
Right.
Now, John, I wouldn't have done this if I wasn't single. I'm single. I'm a bachelor. I don't have a wife. I never was married. I don't have children and grandchildren. Otherwise, I wouldn't have done this if I was responsible for other family members. But anyways, here goes, John. I decided to use my own worthless carcass as a guinea pig. And since this fake demic began, back in last March and everything, whenever it began, I'm out every day, John, and I take the tea, and face masks are required, but I've never worn a face mask, and I've never worn gloves. I just use the tea as I always have without, everybody else has face masks, and sometimes people move away from me, and there's an announcement, face masks are required, but
right,
it's not the law. But anyways, So, but John, I'm in the high risk group. I'm in the latter part. I'm about your age, I think. And I think I was in the Army, basically in the same year as you were in the Army, in the early 70s and everything. But I'm in the latter half of my 60s. So I'm a senior citizen. I'm in the high risk group, and plus I have two comorbidities, and very serious. One of the comorbidities is a very serious comorbidity. I'm a very transparent person. I think I put this out over the air, the show that I called in before. But I have diabetes, and I have a congenital disease that I inherited, a blood disorder. It's called hemochromatosis,
right.
And it's a serious comorbidity. But John, I want the RBN family just to, you can hear what, like you're covering all these phony stats by Dr. Fauci Chi and Dr. Berserk. And the CDC and John, all I do, John, what I've always done after I get off the T, they call it the public transportation back here, it's called the T, I just wash my hands like I always done, but no gloves, no mask. Very often the T is just packed. The train or the trolley is just packed with people. And sometimes they move away from me because I don't wear a mask.
So David, what you're saying is that you got comorbidities, but you are the test guinea pig. You've taken all the public transportation. You do not wear a mask, and you're still upright and talking, obviously, unless it's a pre-recorded call.
Yeah, right, John. And I'm going to continue. I'm going to continue through the rest of this fake demic of not wearing masks just to keep the RBN family apprised. John, I should have been done a dozen times over. If this fake demic was really real, the way these Brits, this British police state and everything is saying, and then down in Australia, it's disgraceful how the pigs down there are treating their own people. I call them white race trader pigs down there, treating their own people and everything. But yeah. If it was for real, John, the way they're saying it is and everything, I would have caught it, John. I'm all over the place. You could probably get.
David, I've got to cut you short here because we're coming up to the top of the hour break. But I appreciate it. You keep riding out there and keep us apprised. It is a plandemic. It is a fake-demic. They're pushing this, and it's falling apart. Now, over in England, as I started to report here, they've been holding demonstrations in London. And they're getting a little bit more specific over there. And one of the chants that they had is, shove your New World Order up your butt. London is erupting in protest against lockdown. I'll cover that after the top of the hour break. Much more news and information, folks, coming your way. Stay tuned. We'll be back in about 2 minutes.
Extend your life with Extendovite, a 7-herb combination made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Each herb was chosen for their abilities to help improve irregular heartbeats, chest pain, lower cholesterol, as well as normalize blood pressure and clean and strengthen arteries, plus much, much more. Doctors have taken people off of some or all of their pills just because they believe their patients got better while taking Extendovite. Get the dependability of Extendovite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.